This meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for being here. I know you're being pretty meeting out, so thank you for indulging me. I couldn't be here yesterday. And I wanted to welcome our new members. Justice Brad Hill is here. Todd Bakke is here. Judge Hoff is here. Judge Mormon, from all the way down from Mendocino, is it?
Truly.
All right, is here. And Ms.
On the phone.
And we have Ms. Andrea Wallen-Roman. Are you there?
I am.
All right. She's from, is it the 3rd DTA?
Yeah, 3rd District.
So, yeah. Can we turn this up? Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, we're going to turn it up.
Okay.
So, welcome. So, a couple of things. First of all, this meeting is a public meeting, meaning it's open and it is being recorded. Members of the public can join us via telephone with what we call a listen-only code. And if you are on the phone and it's a listen-only code, we've had this go both ways. If you could mute your phone, that would be great. If there's nobody there, I do talk to invisible people. So, anyway, if you are speaking for benefit of folks on the phone, could you just say your name first until they get used to hearing your voice? That would be great. All right. Glad we had that in chat. Good talk. So, we're going to spend some time today going over, especially for the new members, because there's so many, a little bit about the background and history of the committee. We have a little presentation to do. It won't take long, but value. And as we typically start each meeting, we start with a roll call. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Ms. Fogarty to take roll.
Judge Rubin?
Here.
Judge Brody?
Here.
Judge Anderson?
She's here. She'll be here.
Okay. Judge Bokke?
Here.
Justice Hill?
Here.
Judge Hopp?
Here.
Judge Mormon?
Here.
Mr. Roddy?
Yo.
Ms. Wallen-Roman?
Here.
Okay, and then Judge Anderson.
Yes.
Bye-bye. All right, did everybody have a chance to look at the minutes for the last meeting?
Okay. Would you like a motion?
Typically. Okay, for those of you who are new, typically the entree into can I get a motion to approve the minutes.
Judge Rubin, I'd be pleased to make that.
Mr. Roddy, I'm pleased as punch you would do that. And I'll second that motion. Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge Rubin.
Let's have a discussion. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none or seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Abstain. All right, Judge Hoffman abstaining. And the motion passes. Ms. Fogarty, do you have any public comment for today?
No, I'm just checking out signs to the 9,000.
Sorry?
No written or in person.
All right, that does conclude the public comment portion of this meeting. We're going to move now into discussion and action items. We have one item right now, and let's let the staff get to that before we talk more about the committee and structure and how it works so they get on their way if they'd like to. So let me turn this over to Mr. O'Donnell from Legal Services, who's going to give us a presentation on the memo that you have on Port Call.
Go ahead. Okay, so as indicated, this is a report on the telephone appearance fee issue. On June 21st, 2018, the Executive and Planning Committee referred various fee issues relating to the 2018-2022 statewide master agreement for telephone appearance services to the Judicial Branch Budget Committee for consideration and possible action. And on July 18th, the JBBC formed an ad hoc subcommittee to consider these fee issues and report back with its recommendations. Members of the subcommittee were Judge Anderson, who has now joined us, Judge Brody, who's here as vice chair, and Ms. Kimberly Flenner, who has now moved to a different assignment. This is a report back from the ad hoc subcommittee on their recommendations regarding the fee issues. The issues that were sent to the subcommittee to look at were, one, whether any increase in the telephone appearance fee, the currently $86 per call, should be recommended to the Judicial Council. If any increase is recommended, what should be the amount of the increase? And finally, whether any legislative changes should be considered in the future regarding the statutory telephone appearance fees. The recommendations of the committee, just to go to the heart of it, are really in two parts. The first part deals with the question of the immediate telephone appearance fee amount. That is, by statute, it is something that is delegated or sent to the council, and the council exercises the fee setting through the rulemaking process, and specifically the fee is in Rule 3.670K1. The recommendation of the ad hoc committee is that the council amend Rule 3.670K1 to increase the fee for an appearance by telephone in a civil case from $86 to $94. In your materials, there's an invitation to comment that is attached, so the action on this one would be to recommend that amount and recommend that the invitation to comment be circulated with RUPR approval for a public comment period, hopefully on an expedited basis so that the fee issue could be resolved expeditiously by, say, the first of the year if possible. The second set of fee issues relates to this current statutory scheme, which was put into place in 2010, and in some respects is outdated, and I'll get into that a little bit more in a moment. The recommendation here is to take a look at this. Perhaps the rejuvenated or reconstituted ad hoc subcommittee might want to take a further look at the possible ledge alternative. So I'm not going to dwell much on that. That's really more a future activity, but I'll touch on that at the end. So to break it very quickly into the part dealing with the proposed increase in the amount of the telephone appearance fee, just by way of background, the original telephone appearance fee was set in 2011 at $78 per call. $20 of that goes into the trial court trust fund, and the remaining $58 went to the vendor. 2 years later, when the telephone appearance fee master agreement, which is again required by statute, when it was amended, the telephone appearance fee was increased from $78 per call to $86 per call. Again, $20 of that goes into the trial court trust fund, which means that the vendor or a court that directly provides telephone appearance services currently gets $66 per call. So the issue came up again because as of June of last year, the existing master agreement after 5 years was expiring. It was an RFP. There was one bidder, and they were awarded the bid, which was court call. And in their materials, they requested an increase in the fee. Their particular recommended increase was to $96. The ad hoc subcommittee looked at this in detail, looked at their information that the court call had provided. It also looked at information provided by budget services. The last time there was a fee increase, in 2013, it was a somewhat similar scenario. Information was submitted, and in the end, the council increased the fee, as I said, to $86, and it did so based on looking at a CPI estimate that was done and arranged, analyzed by then the finance, now the budget services folks. And after looking at this issue, the ad hoc committee recommends that the similar process be used at this time, and based on the current analysis, the CPI increase for the period for the next four-year term would increase the telephone appearance fee from the current amount of $86 to the amount of $94. So that is the proposal, that this fee increase be circulated for public comment, and that if at the end of the comment period the council agrees, then that would be the increase that would be reflected in the amendment of Rule 3.670. So that's the first part of the proposal. I don't know if there's any questions or discussion about that.
Let me start with that and see if you want to chew on that a little bit. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. O'Donnell about the report, which, by the way, I thought was really well done?
It's not just $2, but what's the explanation for the difference between the 94 you recommend and the 96 court call asked for?
Court call, in their materials, which is attached to the report, had a range of different kinds of sources they pointed to as the grounds for increasing the fee. They did not provide direct actual cost information. What they provided was various kinds of CPI indexes, other kinds of information about the kind of charges that large law firms are currently doing. They cited, for example, the San Francisco Bay Area Consumer Price Index and various other materials of which, well, so they had a range of information which was similar to the kind of information that was provided 4 years, 5 years ago. As you can see, the amounts are fairly close, but it seemed that their information was a little bit tilted, like Court Call, its headquarters is my understanding in Los Angeles, and their operations are statewide and, in fact, nationwide. So using the general consumer price index seemed a reasonable approach in the past, and it seems like it still might be a reasonable approach now. I would anticipate when this is circulated for public comment, we may get, again, further and additional input, and, again, that could be looked at. But that was the thinking at this time. And so that's the thing. Yep.
Good question. Any other questions for Richard on this piece?
Okay. Okay, well, the second part is that the legislation that created this framework, let me just summarize it very quickly, was that in 2010, the sea change, the big change occurred in telephone appearance fees. They had originally been done county by county with the different vendors, in particular, predominantly Court Call, entering into individual contracts with each court. In 2010, the legislation was passed requiring a uniform statewide fee amount for telephone appearances, that there would be a statewide master agreement or agreements we entered into, and it had various other provisions relating to the fees. It said, for example, that the council would set the uniform fee. And the provisions also included some things that perhaps need updating. That's the question for going forward a little bit. There was in the legislation at that time, and still in the legislation, a provision relating to what was described as the fiscal year 2009-2010 amount. And this was an amount equivalent to the amount of revenues received from the vendor or vendors that the court received in those years. And that amount was to be shared among eligible courts. And the eligible courts were defined as 38 of the 38 courts that had been receiving some kind of revenue sharing arrangement by contract with Court Call of the vendors. And this legislation further stated that this amount to be allocated among the courts was for the purpose of preventing significant disruption and sort of suggests that the allocation was intended to be a temporary measure. However, you know, it's still in the statute and it's still done and amounts to $294,840 a year, which is distributed not to all the courts but to the 38 eligible courts. And that is also in your materials, which courts and who gets what. This provision seems somewhat outdated. Court Call recommended, and you'll see in your materials, either the elimination or ultimately the elimination entirely of what they call the legacy fees or a transitional approach to that. I think one of the things the committee might want to consider next year is whether those should be eliminated and whether, and this is the flip side not recommended by Court Call, is whether there should be to offset the essentially $940,000 loss an amount that would be increased into the trial court trust fund in order to offset that loss. And again, our budget services estimates that if the $20 amount that goes into the trust fund by statute was increased to $23.30, that would offset the amount that would be, you know, if the legacy payments were eliminated. It would be distributed somewhat differently. It would be distributed through the trial court trust fund and not through this historical mechanism. So that would be the main change. There may be other additional suggestions. I think there's some technical issues about the timing and mechanisms by which payments are made. We also have other significant developments going on. Some of the larger courts are beginning to provide direct telephone appearance services rather than through a vendor, which is going to have an impact probably in this whole area.
Are there, in that class, do we have, any court, are there courts that are getting payment that have transitioned away from Court Call but still getting payments?
Yes, I believe at least one still gets with these so-called legacy payments at the same time they are providing direct services and getting fees. There may maybe more. There are only three I'm aware of right now that are doing this, but I think there was an RFP and I believe a contract entered for LA, and I would anticipate LA will start at some level doing direct telephone appearance services.
I was asking because I know, and we'll get to this later, we have at least one or two innovation grants that are aimed at this, mm-hmm. and so I just didn't know if where that was.
Yeah, and just sort of by way of background, the way the statute works is the courts would receive the same amount as the vendor. In other words, the fee that we're talking about that would go from 86 to 94, that fee would go to the vendor or to the direct court, but each of them would then need to contribute the 20 or in the future, if we change that, 23 or some other amount to the trial court trust fund. The legacy payment or the 0910 payments are only from the vendor, so the courts do not contribute to that. And I think the concern for an entity like Court Call is they have a large fixed cost and they're watching the potentially shrinking of their market. So their concern, I think, is one of their main concerns is that they're in this situation. All of which I think warrants another look. I don't think we're going to, you know, today, you know, it's just sort of frame the issue for future looking at it. Christy will be able to help you going forward.
Thanks. Well, I was just saying that because I think as the budget committee, I think we're going to talk about this a little bit later, as we start to get reframed also, mm-hmm. we need to kind of flag for the council potential problems, and I think there's a real optics problem for us if courts are receiving payments who have also transitioned away. I don't know what that looks like to the public, that you have a private corporation paying money to a court for a reason that doesn't exist anymore, and you know, we need to flag that for the council, and that may be something we want to look at, even if it's only a couple of courts.
And just for very practical reasons, I think this is going to take more time to vet, and our procedures are much more complicated, you know, to work that up, to circulate that for public comment and get done. I don't think that's a kind of expedited matter.
No.
Whereas the fee issue, I think, can be addressed pretty discreetly and fairly quickly at this time.
Right. Any questions for Patrick on the policy question having to do with legacy payments and going forward on that? Anybody? I don't see any. Let's go back then. It sounds like we need to do is make a recommendation to the council on I'm reading the report.
It's a recommendation. It would be a recommendation to increase the fee, and then at this point, it would be also to ask RuPro to circulate an invitation to comment, which is attached as attachment one to your materials, so that there would be an opportunity for the public to comment on the proposed fee increase.
There was a subcommittee working on this with Patrick, and that was Kyle, Marla, and Kim Flenner.
Kim Flenner, yeah.
So, do either of you want to say anything?
It is a big, you're correct, that these legacy payments are going to be a problem going forward, and it's hard to justify a transitional payment 8 years down the road, based on this discrete snapshot in time.
Right, so.
And for processes, I think it's always good to take a look at your statutes to see is it in alignment with current practice and what current practice should be. So this is just nothing more than adjusting to what real world is in 2018,
right.
19, and 20,
right.
and making sure that the optics are clear in terms of what's happening to money. This is not a profit-generating business. This is a service that's provided, and you're recouping costs to make sure it's clear within the statute.
Well, I also think this piece of very healthy scrubbing by the budget committee of different fiscal questions, and we're getting to that. That would be great. All right. Then, do we have a motion on this?
That's to move to circulate for public comment, or have RuPro do that.
Right, so
I'll make that
motion. Is to refer this to RuPro for circulation for public comment with an eye towards presentation to the council.
Yep.
Right, is there a second?
Second.
A second, huh? Any discussion? Right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? All right, it passes.
Do you need a second motion to make sure that then there's continued work on future legislation for changes in the statute?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, it would be a softer motion, but it would be like whether the ad hoc committee continues or is reconstituted to look at this or however we want to frame it as something to be continue to be pursued would be helpful.
Let's keep the band together. But let's have Mike Roddy take up playing bass for our musician, this splinter. And would the three of you be able to work on this other piece and try maybe at our next judicial council to have some, not necessarily end product, but just something a little status, see where we are?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty discreet question, and I don't think there's that much really to know exactly. I mean, there's not a lot of data that we need to dig into, so I would think we could have a recommendation back by our next meeting about what we think the council should pursue in terms of legislative amendment.
Great. Is that your motion?
Yes.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Yeah, more than seconds. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Ms. Wallen-Roman, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any observations or comments about what any of the either motion or kind of what you're hearing?
No, you know, mostly obviously because they're direct trial court issues. So I'm not seeing those in our appellate court. But no, appreciated the discussion on the $2 differential because I wasn't sure where that came from.
Great, outstanding. All right, great, perfect, Patrick. I have a memo here that says your retirement is canceled.
I've got airplane tickets on Tuesday in New York. I'm going.
So before you leave, I just want to say this. We are very fortunate on this committee to have Laura Speed, who I guess we're losing to in some respect, but getting promoted up and out. And I don't know if we get to keep her or not. But, oh, great. All right, but we have...
You said that with such disappointment.
but we have Laura. Okay, I get it. Maureen, I know, is retiring, but we have Maureen right now. We have John. We have Zlatko. We have Lucy. We have just sensational staff. And Mr. O'Donnell from Legal has been part of that team. It's just been sensational, and we could not get this done without these folks. And so I really, this is bittersweet. I really hate that you're going, but I... Get it. I'm trying. Look, I'm the only son in a Jewish family, so it's about me. But I understand, and so congratulations, and you, it's well deserved. So.
Thank you very much.
Congrats. Right. Chrissy, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to have you.
I will do my best to step into the
seat. Yeah, well, it is going to be, but a challenge, but you'll be great. We're excited. All right. There's nothing further. We're going to end our open meeting. We're going to go into closed session. Is there anybody have anything, including you, Ms. One second. Ms. Wallen-Roman, anything that needs to be handled in the open session before we go on to the closed matters? Ms. Wallen-Roman, anything?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
All right, anybody in the room? Nothing? All right, let's go ahead to close session. So we need you to hang up and call back in on the clothesline.
Yep.